So I want you to imagine an experimental art school that fosters female creativity and kinship, where models of generative and adaptive communal living prioritize creative play, reimagining the way that we choose to live in communities. Black Mountain College in Asheville, North Carolina, offered this kind of education. Embedded within the institution's history is the progressive vision of an art-driven sustainable lifestyle. Artist Kylie Banyard plays tribute to this school and its legacy in her work, Blue Ridge Moon. And I'm joined by Kylie this morning to tell us a little bit more about it. Good morning, Kylie.
Good morning.
So this work, as I mentioned, is all about this school, Black Mountain College. Can you describe the school in a little bit more detail?
Yeah, sure. So it ran in the kind of mid-20th century, so from early 1930s through to the mid-50s. So it doesn't exist anymore, but the buildings that made up the college do, and different things happen there now. But the college itself was, it was a liberal arts college, and so they were studying all sorts of things, not just art and music and theatre, but across the arts. But I'm really interested in the way that basically everybody who went there was very isolated. Everybody who chose to go there lived on campus, including the faculty, so everybody lived together, so it was truly a communal way of living, and they worked on the land and they grew the food that they ate, along with some kitchen and garden staff that the students and faculty worked alongside, and they built a lot of the buildings that they studied in. So it was a really kind of radical experiment that encompassed this idea of a total environment, which, yeah, I think is pretty special, and I don't know that it's been done a lot since then. Yeah.
Do you know why it ceases to exist?
Yeah, so it always ran on a shoestring. It wasn't very well funded. Basically, I think the faculty, the staff didn't make much money. The college didn't bring in a lot of money. So the other thing that happened is that there were a lot of really big egos there as well. And this is one of the things about communes. Often they're very fraught. And the reality of them is generally that they come undone. So I think there was just sort of a political explosion amongst people, and it fell to pieces eventually, which is sad.
Yeah, definitely. So the women's histories of the school in your work is described as hidden. Why was it hidden, and was it difficult to find out information about these histories?
Not once I started looking, but the funny kind of disjunction that I noticed really early on was, and it's just symptomatic of the way art history is, I guess, has previously been taught, and the way the canon has previously been constructed. But you look at the images, all the archival images, and there are so many of them available. Heaps of them are online. There are lots of women there, lots of women. Lots of female students, as is always the case at art schools, eternally. Lots of women taught at the college too, but the way the history's written doesn't match the way that it looks in the images. So I'm kind of interested in that visual culture, I guess. And also there were lots of really big, iconic male artists that spent time at the college. So when the college is talked about, that's a really obvious way to grab people's attention, is to, historically, to talk about the iconic, big heroic male artists that had something to do with it, like Joseph Albers and Willem de Kooning and people like that. So, yeah, that usually the roll call is the way that it announces its kind of prestige and historical importance. So I wanted to shine a light on some of the people that don't get talked about in the written history, which is the women.
Definitely. And so in creating this work, as you mentioned, you delved into archival research and mm-hmm. both written and photographic. And you also, from my understanding, combined that with your own photographic images. How did that nexus come about, and what's the result of that?
Yeah, so I haven't really done that before. And mostly because of this is kind of a... Oh, maybe the third or fourth community that I've looked at over the course of a decade. And usually they're places that I haven't visited, and that I've been very conscious to force this sort of critical distance between me and the place that I'm researching, because I'm interested in being able to construct a fantasy an ideal kind of fantasy about the place. So going there is one sure way to dispel the kind of, you know, fantastic illusion that I might have about a place. But what happened with this project is that I got some funding and I was able to actually go to Asheville, which is very close to Black Mountain, to the Black Mountain Museum and Art Centre, and talk to some of the people who are experts in Black Mountain, and they've researched it there for most of their working lives, and talk to them, so some scholars that write about it. And I got to go to Black Mountain, and I also went and I was in an exhibition at Appalachia, at a university in Boone, which is very close and very involved in looking at the history of Black Mountain College. So when I was there, I took lots of photos of the incredible place that I stayed in the mountains with one of the staff from the university that I was, visiting and exhibiting at. And I started to incorporate and kind of conflate my experience of visiting and the archival images that I'd found of the college and people working at the college.
And with the discourse surrounding the college, because it's come up a few times in terms of writing and scholars and there being a museum, is it primarily a kind of positive outlook on the college, or is it contrary to that?
No, it's really, and in America, it's really, so when I went on my research trip, I went to New York first and I did some research there, and it's really celebrated as this important moment in kind of avant-garde art history, mid-20th century avant-garde moment where something radical happened. And so it's really very, very celebrated. And most of the accounts, even the kind of lived experience, when you start reading accounts of people's time at Black Mountain, mostly it was positive. But, you know, sometimes there are the people didn't enjoy themselves at all. Sometimes people do, I guess, pay attention to the way that it was quite politically fraught, and there were lots of clashing egos and issues. But, you know, like any organisation, people don't always get along. So, yeah, generally it's held up as this really positive, amazing historical moment.
Yep. So Blue Ridge Moon functions a little bit as a tribute to the college. What are you hoping that uncovering these histories in a modern context will kind of, how will that affect Australian audiences specifically in such a different kind of context?
I don't even know that I've thought about how it will affect Australian audiences. I think one thing that in a kind of universal sense, and it doesn't matter where the audience is, but I'm wanting to give female creativity really kind of a full representation and really celebrate women in the act of making and just enjoying, you know, having creative lives. And, that's what I'm really interested in, I guess, celebrating and exposing and making work about.
That is a completely wonderful intent, I think. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, Kylie. Good luck with the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.